On top of that, after the pre-feasibility study, we've had several discussions with the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, and the Nevada Department of Environmental Protection, and they've told us in four meetings that since Kinross never completed reclamation, the permits are still active. They need to be updated to
Wow.
current standards, but they said once we get them a plan of operation, they would be updated within a few months. So after we get the PFS,
Wow.
after we get the PFS on the heap leach pads, we will then start working on a plan of operation to submit to the various authorities. Now, it may take a bit longer for the fresh material, but we can get started into production, hopefully, on the leach pads first. So that's what we're working on at Candelaria.
Good day, everybody. It's me, Steve Yang, Natural Resource Stocks, and today I've got with me Greg Crow, President and CEO of Silver One Resources. How are you, Greg?
Fine, Steve. Good to talk to you again.
Likewise. Greg, before we start, if you can give us your company ticker, your website, where people can find you.
Sure. The website is www.silverone.com. Silver One, all one word, spelled out O-N-E. Our ticker symbol in on the Toronto Venture Exchange is SVE, and our ticker symbol on the OTCQX is SLVRF.
Awesome. Well, Greg, if you can just tell us real quick, just kind of what you guys are all about, if you can give us the brief overview, and then love to dive in a little bit deeper.
Sure. Well, as you may have gathered from our name, we are a silver company. We are at the exploration and development level, and we're concentrating all our efforts in the Southwest US. Two states, Nevada and Arizona, which appear on the top of the best mining jurisdictions in the world by the Fraser Mining Institute. What's good about it is we've got three projects, two in Nevada, one in Arizona. Our flagship project is in Nevada called the Past Producing Candelaria Silver Mine. It produced upwards of 68 million ounces, started extremely high-grade production in the 1800s, and then in the 1970s forward, it was a big open-pit mine. Kinross was the last big group to mine there. They decided that in 1997, with the collapse of silver prices down to $2.50, they would shutter the mine. They started reclamation and didn't complete it, which is to our benefit today. Sold it off to Silver Standard. Silver Standard did some studies, but silver prices were still under $5 per ounce, and they moved on. We did a deal with Silver Standard, and in 1923, we consummated that deal. We now have 100% ownership with no royalties back to Silver Standard. So what have we been doing there? The thing about Candelaria is there's two big open pits and two big heap leach pads, and there's a lot of silver in those leach pads and a lot of silver in the fresh mineralization down dip from the open pits. All told, we have about 108 million ounces of silver equivalent at the measured and indicated. These are 43-101 compliant. And we also have another 30 million ounces inferred. Our plan is to move forward to a pre-feasibility study before the end of the year. In order to achieve that, we need to complete some metallurgical work that is ongoing. We've just completed a geotechnical drilling program designed to give us the pit slope stability for pushing back the walls of the two pits and making one large super pit. And we have just done a big auger drilling program on the heap leach pads, which will allow us to upgrade the resource from inferred to measured and indicated. And it will also provide us with more material for a pilot test to test the recoveries of silver. All this will be important for moving forward to the pre-feasibility study at the end of the year. On top of that, after the pre-feasibility study, We've had several discussions with the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, and the Nevada Department of Environmental Protection, and they've told us in four meetings that since Kinross never completed reclamation, the permits are still active. They need to be updated
Wow.
to current standards, but they said once we get them a plan of operation, they would be updated within a few months. So after we get the PFS,
wow.
Yeah, after we get the PFS on the heap leach pads, we will then start working on a plan of operation to submit to the various authorities. Now, it may take a bit longer for the fresh material, but we can get started into production, hopefully, on the leach pads first. So that's what we're working on at Candelaria. Now, to top all that off, we also have we did a $32 million financing earlier this year, and we're well funded. And what we are doing is we've decided to do another 20 to 25,000 meters of exploration drilling at Candelaria. The idea is to expand possibly the current resource, but also look at some other new exploration targets. Not only are there more exploration targets for silver oxide and silver sulfide, but there is a chance there's the entire property could be underlain by a big porphyry copper, silver, gold system. And we're going to be testing that in the coming months. So what's happening at Candelaria? Lots of exploration. We are about to fly the property, airborne electromagnetic survey called ZTEM. That'll help us define targets. On top of that, we're marching towards a PFS. And then hopefully next year, we'll start the permitting process.
So lots going on, Greg. So good job. I'm particularly interested in the permitting right now. How long does that usually take?
Usually take if you start from scratch?
Scratch.
Okay. Depending on the type of deposit, is it open pit? Is it underground? Is it big? Is it small? Depending on the jurisdiction, are jurisdictions favorable to mining? Are they not? In Nevada, they're very favorable to mining. It's a big contributor right. to the GDP, has a big history of mining. So when they tell me that they're going to be able to update our resources in a matter of months, I don't know what that means. Does that mean 4 months? Does that mean 12 months? But yeah. It is much faster than a typical permitting process that can be anywhere, say, 10 years for a small mine, up to 20 to 30 years for a large mine. And this is on public ground. This is on BLM ground. If you're on private land, you can get away with a small mine on your private land, but you still have to adhere to certain environmental standards to make sure that your activities on private land don't spill over onto the public land.
Greg, I want to ask about, is it pronounced Candelaria? Am I saying
Candelaria.
It right?
Candelaria, yeah.
Candelaria. So
yeah. It's a Spanish name. So
you guys purchased that when again, and what drew you to that? I know that it's a past producing mine, but what kind of potential were you guys looking at here?
Well, when we first looked at acquiring it, essentially what happened was it was 2016, and I went over and talked to some associates at Silver Standard. They were rebranding their company, becoming SSR Mining, and they were looking at gold mining. They were selling off all of their old silver assets. And I targeted Candelaria because I liked Nevada as a jurisdiction. I liked the fact it had produced a lot of silver in the past. And I liked the fact that it had been shut down for 20 to 25 years. And there seemed to be a lot of potential for more silver there. So we entered into an agreement. It was an all-share agreement. We gave them $3 million in Silver One shares. We had to replace the $2.5 million reclamation bond on the big heap leach pad that Kinross never fully reclaimed. So with that, we got 100% with no royalties back to Silver Standard.
Greg, you also mentioned that your project, if I want to make sure I heard this correctly, your project is fully funded, or how far does it take you and how much cash do you have in the bank?
We've got over $30 million in the bank.
$30 million US or Canadian?
No, these are Canadian dollars. Okay. So,
still,
but that That'll take us through this expiration. It'll take us through pre-feasibility, probably into the plan of operation that we need to get the permitting. After that, we'll probably have to find another avenue to fund the startup of the mine. Okay, but there are various avenues you can take. As opposed to issuing equity, you can do debt financing, you can do streaming deals, you can do offtake deals, you can do royalty deals, you can bring in a partner. So all these things are possible.
So you say you were doing more exploration. Is that on the Candelaria side, or is that the other properties that you have, Cherokee and
Both.
Phoenix?
Well, both, but we're doing 20 to 25,000 meters of drilling on the Candelaria project, looking for more silver oxide, silver sulfide, and
Okay.
also exploring for the porphyry potential at depth.
Okay. And can you talk about the grade that you think you have there, and just kind of the scale that you have? Some
The grade of the resource. If you look at, there's two different resources. There's open pit. And there is a down dip from the open pit, fresh mineralization. That's averaging 90 to 110 grams per ton. Okay. And that's good for open pit mining. As we get down deeper, and that's what Kinross was mining back in the day. As we get down deeper into the
Okay.
system, we're getting more sulfide. We go from oxide into mixed oxide sulfide, and then eventually we think it'll go into pure sulfide. The grades seem to improve, and we're looking at 200 grams per ton and north as we get deeper. Now, on the open pits, it's a different story. It's about 42 grams per ton on average, and that's very good for material that's already been mined and is just sitting on the surface. If we look at a similar mining situation in northern Nevada, we can look at Coeur's Rochester mine. Coeur's Rochester mine, they're doing heap leach silver oxide mining. And their average head grade is 15.15 grams per ton silver, and they're getting about 51% recoveries. So we think we're in pretty good situation. When we initially acquired this project, we were looking at silver prices of around $14, $15. Things are a little different today.
Yeah, a little bit. So, what's your market cap right now?
Market cap is around, if you give me 2 seconds, it just seems to, I'm going to give you a better number because it varies from day to day, and we've been up in the market just recently. So, there you go. So, today we're about 180 million Canadian.
And what do you think you should be based off comps that you have and see
Generally speaking, well, the comps
roughly?
are. You know, what are comps? I'm sorry. We look at it. You can look at other ex you can look at other exploration companies, but if you want to compare our exploration companies to other silver exploration companies, even the ones in the States, we're much closer to a production situation. So, what is a comp? You know, we're kind of on the lower end of the valuation, and the reason for that is because if you look at something called the Lassonde curve. I don't know if you know what that is or not, or your listeners know what it is, but essentially you get a run-up in your market cap during the early exploration stage, and then it tails off during the development stage before it ramps up significantly once you're sort of getting to the production and into production. We're in that development stage, so we're a little bit down. But I think that we're going to see a serious re-rating once we get the pre-feasibility study out.
And that's, you said later this year is what you're hoping for?
That's what we're hoping
Like
for. Aiming for it. Yeah.
September-ish? Okay.
Nah, probably
Great. And
probably
then
Q4. Probably Q4.
Q4, okay.
So October, November,
And
December.
so you guys are closer to production than most. Could you expound on that a little bit?
Well, if you look at silver companies in Canada and the US, there's very few that are close to production, unless they're a really small scale type situation on private land, as I talked about. There might be something in the gold sector that's a little closer. Mexico, you can probably get things that move a little bit faster in terms of production, but Mexico is a risky jurisdiction, particularly with the cartel action, etc. So we started in Mexico, but we got out of there and we're happy we're out of there. I like being in safe jurisdictions like Nevada and Arizona.
And Greg, can you go over your financials with me a bit? Just how many shares outstanding, fully diluted, do you have? And then if you can touch on the options and warrants.
Yeah, we've got about 350 million shares issued and outstanding. And let me just see here. In terms of the number of warrants, I'll just give you that. I got the number right in front of me right now. We've got about 15 million options, and we've got about 47 million warrants. Warrants are anywhere between 40 and 80 cents.
40 cents. Okay. How well do you know everybody in the registry there?
Well, Eric Sprott's our largest shareholder, 16%. Okay. He's participated in four of the last six financings. He came in on the line last
Okay.
financing and put in 10 million of the 32 million that was raised. Okay. Jupiter Fund out of London, they're a second largest shareholder. They came in a couple of financings ago. They've been in two of the three financings. We've got Commodity Capital out of Switzerland. We've got Libra Advisors out of New York. Directors and management are 2 to 3%. If you include their options, et cetera, probably 4 or 5%. We've got about another 20 small family funds, each one under 1%. So we don't really list them per se. We're on the Sprott Silver Miners and Physical Silver ETF. They've got about 2% of us. And Next Generation Resource Fund, 1%, Global Silver Miners ETF, another percent. So, we've got some good shareholders and lots of close family and friends as well.
You mentioned Eric Sprott. When did he come in? And if you can give me the just the kind of the context behind the number of shares there.
Well, if 15%, I think he's got around, let me just see the exact number of shares. Hold on. He's got around 55 million shares,
Okay.
roughly. I could get an exact number, but that's roughly what he's got. That works out to just under 16%.
Can you give me a, I mean, I don't need a play by play, but if you give me a context of the how you got to the number of shares that you have and what's the plan in terms of providing value for shareholders?
Well, value for shareholders is getting into production, first and foremost. I'm not a big believer in dilutionary financing. The concept there is every time you do a financing, you're diluting the existing shareholders. Couldn't be further from the truth. I think that's a total misnomer. I believe that every time you do a finance, if you're a serious junior, mind you, if you want to get into production and become a real company, every time you finance, you're advancing your projects. So you're adding shareholder value. Yes, you're issuing more shares, but the shareholders have the choice. They can hang on and hope for the big dream, which is what I'm doing, and that's why I'm here for. Or you can get rid of your shares after you've made a few cents per share. We have all types of shareholders. So I'm not a big believer in the fact that doing financings is dilutionary. If you are indeed a true company adding value.
And what, Greg, is the big dream, and what gets you excited, and how much have you participated, and your colleagues, are they actively in the market?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we've came in early and we participated on various financings. Don't participate in every financing. We have brought in some pretty big shareholders that have diluted ourselves down as well. And that's part of the game. My philosophy is I work hard to advance the company. I'm not a multi-billionaire like some people, so I can't afford to participate in every single financing. I'm incentivized. I've got good option plans, and I've got some warrants, and I've got, again, not my philosophy. This whole idea is if you don't have 10 or 20% skin in the game in the company is nonsensical because there's a lot of people out there who do, but they're still pump and dump situations.
Greg, couldn't agree with you more. Appreciate your thoughts on all this. If you can tell us where we can find your website, your socials one more time, how people can reach out with any questions they might have and follow your story.
Okay, I'll just put in one small thing before I do that.
Okay.
Look at our second project in Arizona, Phoenix Silver.
Okay.
Right in the second largest porphyry copper producing belt in the state of Arizona, if not in the United States. Our neighbors are Freeport-McMoRan, BHP. We have not only extremely high grade silver potential in veins there, but we have underlying porphyry copper silver potential. We're actively doing that. We just announced a couple of weeks ago that we're advancing the project and how we're advancing the project. It is the type of project that we're being approached by major companies in terms of partnering on. So we'll consider
Wow.
that for the porphyry copper while we develop the silver. So we've got really three good projects. Those are the two. But anyway, let's go back to what you're asking about the ticker symbol and our website. Once again, our website is www.silverone, spelled out O-N-E at the end, .com. And we are TSX Venture SVE, and we are the OTCQX SLVRF.
And if people have other questions regarding the other projects, they can reach out to you there as well, correct?
Yeah, and if you go to the website in particular, you'll see contact information mainly for Gary Lindsay, who is our investor relations person. You can certainly contact, and if you want to get arranged to have questions answered, whatever, we can accommodate that.
Great. Well, Greg, looking forward to following your story further. For our listeners, Silver One is now a sponsor of our show. Look forward to continuing to follow your story further, Greg. I am currently, sad to say, not an investor yet, but after this, I think I'm going to change that. So, just full disclosure for our listeners, I do plan to get into the purchasing for Silver One soon. So, Greg, thank you so much for your time, and look forward to following your story.
Okay, Steve, thank you very much.